Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Do have open lines right now at Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. We invite you to do so right now. We're talking about relationships. We're talking about seven relationship builders. There's patience, kindness, truth, protection, trust, hope, perseverance. Those are all the qualities that will enable relationships to start, develop, grow, and become healthy and strong. Without these relationship builders, relationships just go down the tubes. Well, where do these qualities come from? They come from God. This is how God loves us. God is patient with us. God is kind to us. God is truthful with us. God protects us. God trusts in us, hopes in us, perseveres. That's God. And as we abide in Christ and in His love for us, then we see these relationship builders being lived out in us. So today we're going to talk about relationship builder number three, and that is truth. You can't have a relationship built upon lies and deceit and any of that sort of thing. It has to be built on truth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how God reached out to us in truth. Jesus Christ declared truth to us about God the Father. That's why He came, to make the Father known to us. Why? Because we had faulty information about God. We were living on a lie as far as our understanding of God was concerned. We believed He was mean. We believed He was vengeful. We believed that He was evil. We believed, you know, there's some people that look at the Old Testament and say he's bad cop in the old, good cop in the new. Yeah. And, you know, they think He's changed, but that's not the case at all. There's always been a truth about God, and that truth is that He is love, and that He has reached out to us in love in the person of Christ Jesus. When that truth hits our hearts, then we can respond. And that's when we have a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. That relationship is built upon truth. Well, as that truth becomes the foundation for our very lives, then that truth can be lived out in relationships with others. If you're trying to suppress truth in a relationship, it's never going to work out. It is going to just unravel at the seams like a cheap sweater. That's just the way it is. Yeah. Truth is what holds any relationship together. And that truth, as far as God is concerned, is the truth about His love for us, the truth about His forgiveness for us, the truth about His grace for us, the truth about His mercy for us. That's the truth we needed to know. And that truth becomes the glue, the cement that holds us together in relationship one with another, with God. And as we abide in that same truth, we will see that truth holding relationships together one with another.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me that even in Christian circles where people will give lip service to truth, but then in relationships it's anything but truthful, and it's driven by fear, because if my wife or my husband or even a boyfriend or girlfriend knows that this is true about me, they won't like me anymore. Well, the fact that you're living in relationship under a lie means that you're not living in relationship. And that should be the thing that you're fearful of. Why have a relationship with someone that's not a relationship? Why not take the risk? Why not be truthful? Because, like you just said, it comes from the inside out. It is the working out of God's truth in Jesus through us to someone else. And that kind of a risk is worth taking.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher, along with Richard Piper. We invite you to join us right now via phone. That number is 1-800-677-9377. If you have a question about relationships and why truth is such an important relationship builder, we invite you to call right now. Plenty of open lines. That's what this program is all about. If you have other issues that you would like to address, questions about particular Bible passages, things that you're confused over, now's the time to call. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Want to remind our listeners about our offer this month. It's a book that I wrote a number of years ago called Love Is. It is an in-depth look at the definition of love as Paul revealed it in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, Richard, most of us only hear that passage when we go to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It's quoted by every minister, and it's perfect for weddings.
Yes.
But we don't pay much attention to it outside of the context of, you know, a wedding and a bride marching down and all the music and that sort of thing.
Nobody's paying attention. They're staring
well,
at her.
Well, that's exactly right. But it's interesting. This passage is one of the most practical passages
yes.
in the Word of God. It really connects the gospel message to us in ways that we never dreamed possible. When we realize that God is patient with us, not that he was patient or not that he will be, but the fact that he's being patient with us right now. And we start to scratch our heads and wonder, well, why does God need to be patient with me? And then we just take a look inside, you know, this thinking, these minds of ours, these brains of ours, and we figure out, oh, I get it. I see why God has to be patient. And thank goodness he is being patient.
Yes.
Otherwise, we would just be, as you would say, like a squash bug on the windshield of a Mack truck.
Yeah.
That's not a good end. But God's patient with us, and that patience is being poured out as we speak. God is being patient with you right now. That's just the greatest news there is, and that's what this book is all about, Love Is. We want to put it in your hands. Our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount this month
yes.
to Basic Gospel. All the information on how to contribute to Basic Gospel is available online at basicgospel.net. There is a big box right in the center of the homepage that has an icon for Love Is. Just click that. Follow all the instructions. We would love for you to be a Basic Gospel partner and to help connect many more people around the world to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Come be a part of what God is doing through this particular ministry. Well, let's start in Belleville, New Jersey, and talk with Catherine listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. What about yourself?
Well, we're doing well. We're doing very
Good.
Well. What's on your mind?
Well, I just had a question. I wanted to know if it was appropriate for a Christian to, such as myself, to pray for patients. You know, I know that God is love, and I know that, what he wants for us is to love our neighbors, love each other like he loves us. And sometimes myself, you know, I kind of get caught up in, things maybe that, something that someone might have done to me or, or an injustice or something along those lines. And I might not handle the situation godly. And I pray that, that God will give me patience because I know how I handle the situation is not godly. So I said, okay, Lord, please give me patience. I know this is not how you would have me to handle this situation, but I need your help.
Well, Catherine, I think that's an outstanding prayer, and
yes.
I think all of us probably pray that, very, very often. Lord, give me patience, because life seems to try our patience. There are adverse circumstances that try our patience, and certainly relationships try our patience. We just want to walk away because, it's too much to deal with. But I think when we start to pray for patience, I think God's Spirit is going to focus our eyes and our attention on the love of God for us. So I think there's nothing but good things that can come from that. if your eyes can get refocused on the love of God for you that's been expressed to you in Jesus Christ, then you're going to see what real patience is, and you're going to see how through abiding in Christ, abiding in the love of Christ, that patience can actually flow through you toward other people. So that's an outstanding prayer, and I encourage you to pray that and expect God to answer it by pointing you to Jesus. Sometimes we pray and then we keep judging whether God's answered or not by how we respond in certain situations. So the focus gets back on us. How well am I doing with patience? Well, I think we should ask the question, how well does God do with patience? Well, he does pretty well. And so if we can just focus on how he is patient with us, then we will see that start to rub off on us and in us and through us into the lives of others.
Okay.
So let that,
all right.
So let that prayer direct your focus back to Jesus Christ. Richard?
Now, one of the things that God will do, at least he's done this with me, when I pray a prayer for like patience or love or kindness or truth or any of those things, what he does, first of all, is expose to my own mind to make visible to me what it is either I'm afraid of or that I don't understand or what I'm lacking in. And quite often in the case of patience, it's because, like you described, someone has hurt me about something, and I don't want to deal with that. And it's become such an automatic response that I have forgotten that what I'm doing is reacting against something that happened in the past, not what's going on right now. And so quite often when God starts to reveal that stuff to me, it's kind of disconcerting. It can be uncomfortable. But if I will allow that truth to become real and then follow up with what Bob was saying in the sense of, well, Lord, I now realize how patient you've been with me, then you can see the steps being taken by the Spirit in your own life to take you through all of this stuff. This definition of love is not a collection of independent things. They are all tied together, and God will work that in you in the way that exactly fits the situations you're meeting right now.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, let me direct you to a particular scripture, Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It's Paul's prayer for us. It's Paul's prayer specifically for you. And he says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Christ feels at home inside of you. And he says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. That's a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So if you're wanting to know patience, that's an aspect of God's love. Love is patient. And so this prayer is perfect for learning patience. So I pray this for you, Catherine, and I ask and encourage you to adopt this prayer, Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19, as your personal prayer, okay?
Okay. I thank you very, very much, and God bless you, and God bless your ministry.
Well, thank you. And let
thank
me put
you, so
you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. You hold on. Well, let's go to Queens and talk to Hubert listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Hubert.
Hubert. Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, my name is Hubert. So I just have a quick question about, I forget the verse, but the way Apostle Paul was talking about women are supposed to be preached in the church or command any man in the church. I think that's Corinthian and Timothy, I think.
Yeah, First Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11, Paul wrote this, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. So it's a power-packed verse filled with, you know, explosiveness right there. But I think what Paul was actually saying to Timothy, we look at it in terms of can a woman preach, but in this particular passage, he was addressing something that was actually happening back at, probably in the church of Ephesus. There was Artemis, this goddess that everybody worshipped, and some of the women were bringing their understanding and knowledge of Artemis into the church, into the body of Christ, and they were doing it in such a way that they were dominating. They were inserting themselves into the mix as the final word on that, and it was causing confusion. And so Paul said, I don't permit a woman to have that type of authority. That's not the same authority that is used, for example, when Paul talks about government, that we should submit to the authority, or even to leadership, that we should submit to the authority of leadership. This is a completely different word, and it carries with it the idea of domination, of just cramming something down somebody's throat. It's almost, we have this horrible situation that has occurred in Nigeria, where those hundreds of girls were kidnapped, and the kidnapper has come out with a video saying, I have forced these girls to convert to Islam. That's the type of authority that this word is conveying, and that's what was happening there. Now, as far as women being pastors, we see, for example, in Timothy chapter 3, also in Titus, that all the qualifications for overseers, for bishops or elders, which is what that word really is, are directed toward men. So in the sense from that, you would say that that's the focus of the New Testament. But certainly that does not prohibit women from being involved in ministry. Women play significant roles. They always have played significant roles. I mean, a woman was the first one to express the good news that Jesus is alive. Mary, the first one to give the good news, Jesus is alive. That's significant.
Yeah, correct. But they fix saying not in the church. They don't see in the street or in the subway or in the where you're walking up. But they say especially within the church. So to you, the way you explain it to me, that means it's okay for a woman to be a pastor in the church, to be a predicator, and to preach.
Well, there are women that preach. I mean, and they.
What I'm asking is, if it's okay in your own opinion.
Well, what I would say that it's probably the role of pastor that is specific here, and the role of pastor is much more than the role of preacher. So I think that's what this is referring to.
Okay, thank you very much. But I got one more question for you, if you've got time, if it's okay. If somebody's was in not a Christian in the past years, was a not a Christian, and then he was married, and he wasn't Christian. I'm saying not a Christian, was out there. So and then he get divorced, and then when he get divorced, and then after divorcing, and then after that. And a couple of years, 2 years, and then he come and he Christian. He come and serve God. And then after that, and can he get married after concerning the 5 Corinthians and 5 Corinthians 17?
Well, Hubert, I think as far as that is concerned, I think Paul addresses that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. You know, there's this issue among Christians. If two are married, both are if they're brothers and sisters in Christ, the word of God is to stay together. That is key. If there are differences, if there are problems.
You say in 1 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 7, yes, sir. Believers, the Word of God is directed toward believers in that regard. If somebody was not a believer and they got divorced and now they've come to Christ and there's an opportunity to get married to someone else, the Word of God isn't going to say go back to that other person. The Word of God is going to say build that relationship upon the love of Christ and let the Holy Spirit lead. And if marriage is the end, then that's okay. They have not sinned. And I think that's exactly what Paul says. But let me direct you to 1 Corinthians 7. We sure appreciate your call. Let's go to Lisa listening to us in New Jersey. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you doing? I'm a first-time caller.
Well, welcome.
And yes, thank you. I just had something here in Corinthians 2. Oh, my gosh. It says here, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that, contrarywise, ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. That had to do with patience, as you were talking about before. And my point that I called is that I have a Bible from 1957 that I read that is a totally different book than the Bible of today. I believe it was changed in 1962, but if anyone were to get a hold of a Bible written before 1962, you will find that it is a completely different text. And
well, what's your point there, Lisa? Do you have a question about that, or are you just making a comment?
Well, I think that people should get a Bible that was written before 1962 and see the difference in the difference of the spirit within the book itself. As I looked in your Corinthians 1, chapter 7, as you were just saying about a man and wife, I just think people should get a Bible written before 1962 and see the spiritual difference within the books. And I believe that back to the Bible written.
Let me jump in, Lisa. If we really want the Word of God, we need to go back and get what was written by Paul, which would have been written in Greek. The apostles would have written in Greek, some Aramaic. If we want to get what the Old Testament really says, we should get the Hebrew, get the original Hebrew. Anything that we have in other languages is a translation, something that's been translated. And the folks that translated in the early part of the 20th century used the language of that day. The translations that have come later, they are using the language of today. Have there been changes in the language? Yes, there has. Have definitions changed over time? Yes, they have. But these translators have done their best to bring it to people in the common language. Now, here's the real truth. Here's the real information that we need, that it's the job of the Holy Spirit to take these words and to bring them to life in our understanding. And the Holy Spirit is not bound by language. The Holy Spirit can bring truth to our minds. He can take these words on a page and deliver the truth about Jesus to each and every one of us,
yes,
if we will certainly trust Him. Well, Lisa, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. This is Basic Gospel. Thank you to Hubert and Catherine for joining us as well. We look forward to another edition of Basic Gospel tomorrow at this same time. I do want to mention one last time about the book Love Is. We need to know what the love of God is for us and how he expressed it to us. Well, that's what this book is all about. We would love for you to have it, and it's your gift as our way of saying thanks for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information is at basicgospel.net.